The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
We'll be making a progress on the preacher school. I believe that all of us are in class. Amen. I believe we've been in class in the past two meetings on Monday and Tuesday. And maybe we already have the time to have gone through the teachings. The teachings again. So we can really be in touch with details of the discourse. Every point that we have raised, every point is very important. And they are all to note and to reflect on so we can see ourselves exercise in all the details of what heaven wants us to know in equipping us and preparing us for the job ahead of us. Some of us have been preaching. Some of us tried preaching one or two times before we withdrew back. Either you were embarrassed, either you didn't have a breakthrough. People just heard you as if they didn't hear you. And you decide to withdraw, or you were not encouraged to continue. Or you have never preached. And I was saying the last time that some people have been born again for 10 years and they have never preached. You will be wondering, is that possible? It's possible. Is that in the present church evolution? It's possible to never preach. And you'll be active member of church. And you'll be participating seriously in church, and you never preached. Some 30 years ago, that would be impossible. You can only find somebody who is born again for 1 year who had never preached. But one of the signs to show you are born again, to win a soul, is to the whole of the work of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship is built around that. That old ministry that spread across, I think, nearly every nation of the world. At that time, I knew they have expression in more than 150 countries. So I don't know any country today where you don't have a Gospel Businessmen Fellowship. I'm not sure it's strong, it's prominent again. The wave was much. In the 80s to the 90s. And the only thing they do is how to make an average believer who is in business to use his business platform to reach to a soul. If I had a manager of a system, you reach to those who are under you. If you are a staff of a system, You reach to those who are above you. And it's not really preaching the gospel. It's inviting them for a meeting. I was the first director of Full Gospel in Zamfara State. At least for 1 year, I was the voice director, and the Voice magazine is designed to document the testimonies. Most of the time of elites, highly placed men, and how they met Jesus, document it. So you can get a Voice magazine and give it to your director, give it to your guy to read, or invite him to a meeting of the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship. That is the one they hold. I think then it was like Tuesday, where they will invite somebody to come and give testimony of how he got born again. And after, there will be a preacher that will back it up, preaching Jesus, and make altar call. It's as simple as that. And lots of people were born again. Most of the elites that got born again into assemblies of God, into redeem a major harvest from Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship. They are major harvest from that place. No, the redeem movement into from the classical to model was on time for that harvest. So people who don't want to go to deeper life because of deeper life itself tried the model approach, they couldn't handle it before redeem took it over. And that became the place to harvest many of the souls into the churches. Many of them in redeem, many of them in Winners Chapel. Large number of Full Gospel Businessmen's harvest were in those places. So I'm just trying to say that even at that point, not everybody preach. We just thought the way to reach out to people to ensure that they can hear the testimony first end from the mouth of somebody who also will have been trained on how to present the testimony. Amen. If we call on every person to come and give testimony in church, he may give it and it's not really on point. But there you are taught on how to give your testimony and to be on point and reach out to people. And it was really turning people into believe the gospel. Say amen. So I'm just going to say that that was, will I say, the next phase from evangelicals who had evangelism as task. And they have program towards evangelism. They have time when the old church go out for evangelism. And have commitment towards evangelism. That was the next wave of the harvest bag that came in before the full-blown approach of the Pentecostals, which is targeted towards come to our church. So the Pentecostals have to present the gospel, both the venue of the place, the music of the place, attractive enough to hold souls. So it was not only gospel that Pentecostals used, it's packaging. It's packaging, and up to now, they still use the packaging. Now when you come in, you just like the place. You just like the place. It's not Jesus you like. So it's most of the packaging, and maybe even some of them, after meeting, they treat you to a nice lunch. They give you an unforgettable experience. After you have heard the message under a full-blown AC. Praise God. That was on that level of evangelism. But we discover that the real evangelism that get to souls. It's not really, it's not even primarily about the location. It's about the messenger, the preacher, that is in tune with the body of Jesus to get to a soul. That was the original model. And that's why we find that whatever happened that does not make church meeting old, the pattern of the Pentecostal becomes ineffective. Then we don't have to invite you to our church. Like when you have the last COVID, when public gathering was banned. So there was no come to our church. So it became online. So at such times, which also could happen at any time, in world history, for now church meets, church have the right to meet. There could be another government on that time or season when meeting of church is not allowed, like you have today in China. You have some countries, Iran, all of that. Those nations do not allow the free movement of the gospel. So, once you are equipped with the word of God, with the message, and present to people, it's most likely you'll be able to use every other medium. Whereas if you are somebody who has been used to preaching to people, I mean, talking the message straight to people, it's most likely you can function at any other condition. If church is not meeting, you are still effective. If church is meeting, you are effective. If even in imprisonment, like we saw Paul and Silas, the Philippian jailer was converted in the prison. That was an unusual case. So even in imprisonment, such person can still get people converted. Can you see that? So once you are a preacher of the message of Jesus, raw to people, it's most likely you can use every other condition to get the message on. Like Paul said, I could be in prison, but the word of God is not bound. It means that the word of God, that's why I say that the word we have is free course. Free course means that it will be able to move at any time, in any situation, at any place. So, when we pray that the word of God will have free course. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course. Not that we may have free course. Not that we may be liberated. Can you see that? It's not asking for its own liberation. It's asking that the word of God will be. So even if I'm in prison, let the word of God have its free course. That's what is going to make it possible for him to preach in prison. Because he was in prison, he was in chain. But the word of God was not in chain. That's somebody who has received the burden of the gospel. And I'm trusting the Lord that Jesus will transfer that burden upon every heart of everyone in Eternal Life Embassy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not be psychedelic in our gospel approach. We will be raw. We will not be of this present age. Though we'll still use whatever, otherwise it's the dynamism of this present age, but the passion, the concern, and all of that will be the original from the heart of Jesus to every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. So we thank the Lord for how far we have been able to go. And one thing we were saying is that God gave power to mouth to speak and to bring what he speaks to pass. God gave man two things, belly and mouth, to be able to bring thoughts. Thoughts unspoken can still die. What did I say? But when thoughts become spoken, You have energized the thoughts. God says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. So shall my word be such that goeth out of my mouth. It will not come back to me void. Can you see that? But it will fulfill and prosper in the things it shall accomplish that which I please. And shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. So the prophetic spirit instruct that words to be spoken, words should be preached. That's why sometimes when you preach, as you are speaking, you're not speaking to any person in particular, yet the words are creating waves of what is to happen. We know words are supposed to be spoken to the hearts of people, but also that the air also responds to words spoken. Say amen. Say amen. So, God must empower us like He empowered Jesus, so that our mouth, our lips, we carry grace. We be gracious. Like it says in Psalm 45, my heart is indicted in a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. You can see? Issue of mouth there. My heart is in that in a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made. As well the things which I have made, touching the king, my tongue, mouth, again, is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fair and children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. You can see everything around the king. It's around the mouth. It's around the mouth. That's when you bring good rewards, the king will bless you. When your mouth carries good right report. So, there's no way to make the king happy than for a man's mouth to become a tool. He was talking there about Jesus. Grace is poured into thy lip, O Most High. And you can see that all through the gospel, you can see Jesus, at the point he was teaching, a woman screamed. The blessed is the pap that you suck. Blessed is the womb that bear that body. That's mouth. Mouth. At the partner point, Jesus was speaking. They told the some officers, oh, so just go and arrest him. They got there, they were glued. They attended the meeting and finished the meeting. I went back to their superior. And they said, where is he? Where is he? They said, you were not there. If you were there, you won't be asking where is he? That's how much of grace is in the mouth of Jesus. How much of grace. So if God anoints you, if God empower you, one of the ways to see it is in the utterance. It's only as you speak concerning the king. Every one person I have seen God love in the gospel, they were all speakers. Paul, Peter, all of them. All of them. All the apostles, they were all speakers. Before they began to write, they were first of all speaking. But I'm praying to God that by reason of this season, the Lord will begin to pour grace on us. And the grace will reach our lips. Your lips will be known or seen to be gracious lips. Instruments. Our mouth, our lips will go through separation, consecration for the gospel. That the mouth will not be able to bring forth both bitter and sweet. It will become tools of issuing out sweetness. Sweetness. Because the mouth that blessed, the mouth should not curse. But our mouth become the mouth of blessing. Mouth of blessing through the gospel. Say amen. That people will say, indeed, God has blessed you. God has blessed you. God has blessed you. God has blessed you. This time a minister preaches, everybody's heart is drawn. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I remember one of the trips I had from Ilorin to Ibadan many years ago. We took a vehicle. I think it was a Pojo wagon. Those are military guys. I think two of them were in the front. I was at the back. And I already prayed from home, trusting the Lord for opportunities today to make your word known. As I was entering the vehicle, the Spirit said, this is the place. When I looked ahead of myself, I saw two military guys in front. So the thing was, what if you speak and this guy just start to deal with you here? The other side said, who does not need the gospel? Don't mind their outward, mind their heart condition. So I decided to obey the other one. That said, don't look at the outward man. Look at their heart need. So we moved a little bit and I began to preach. Everywhere was quiet in the car. Quiet. When we got to Ibadan and we highlighted, the man in the middle, I think the pastor came down and shook me and thanked me. Thank you for those words. And I know that for military, if it is not suiting them, they don't have to manage it. We highlighted together in Ibadan and they went their way. What I'm just saying is that the leap of grace will always bring suiting. Bring suiting, bring refreshing in a weary land. And men cannot turn from lips that brings them comfort, hopes, and refreshing. Say amen. I want to trust the Lord that God is going to when I see those days, I just see that those days have to come back in another form. It may not be like that. We're going to see some of them today. It may not be exact copy of what happened in those days, but I felt no soul should miss those experiences. No souls. That is the proverb. That is the proverb 22:11. He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So kings are always friends to men who has the grace in the who has grace in their lips. That's why I say the gift of a man shall make room for him. He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. So let's just go ahead today. Just last time we were looking at persuasion, to persuade. To persuade. That the message should come with a sense of persuasion. And we saw a lot of things there. But let's speak on there today. Let's read Acts chapter 26. And let's see this message of Paul in Acts 26. 26, 27. Yeah, we got there. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? That's persuasion. I know that thou believest. So you are, it's helping. This is not like what we do today, where we try to persuade men to come and give the life to Christ without resolve. It's not like that. I went to the house, please. And today, we just make other calls for people to come out. And we persuade them to come out. But here, he was resolving for the king. He still left the decision for him. When the preaching was resolving for me, from him. And I know that you believe the prophet. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? And that place, yes, I know that thou believest. You see that? I know you believe. So if at all it's not, if at all it's not willing, because it's sure that the king don't know about the prophets. They was helping him to move forward. Because he may not be willing, because he's a king under Roman government. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me. So he knew that Paul pulled him enough. That was just that last phase. So that is persuasive preaching. Persuasive. And most of the time, it doesn't matter what method you use in preaching, there must be a measure of persuasive there. It means that you are trying to check if there is resolve. For example, you are preaching to someone and you are telling him about Jesus dead on the cross as the answer to sin, is once dead, took care of sin forever, and does not matter what sin is today, sin looks so real in our world today, but the price has been paid. That anybody who believes in him, his sin is forgiven him. Even if you believe in him today, I can assure you that your sin also was included. You know, you are bringing the message from what Jesus Christ did for everybody. Now you are zeroing down to him. You couldn't have started with that. If you start with that, it will make your message, it will constrain your message. It will be like you are preaching at somebody. I don't know your answer now. Say amen. If you start directing the message to the person, if you look at all the message you find in Acts 3:4, all of that, you see that Peter was directing it to us. He was not mentioning anybody's name. We'll get there. That will allow him to talk for a long time. Once you zero a message on a particular person, you can't go far. So most of the time, it is when you are reclining your talk. I can bring instances that involve a particular person. Do you see what I'm saying now? So you must be able to bring forth your thoughts directly as God's provision or what God has done for all men. and you inclusive. You can all zero on even the issues going on with you now is provided for in what Christ has done. That makes you to talk fully the things you want to say without somebody already getting uncomfortable because you are zeroing too much on him or her personally. I don't know something like that. So it creates an open air for the word to be preached once you are not hammering on the person. Amen. So it could be persuasive. And now, what time it can be majorly accurate, and that's how that is majorly the body of preaching is actually giving understanding. Because the first sin of man is that he lack understanding. The general sin of all men is that their understanding were darkened. And that's not only one person. That's all of humanity. So Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You see from the light of which Jesus was speaking, was the first sin of all human is blindness, is darkness, is lack of understanding. Many of the things people do, if they come to know it, even as terrible as the case of Judas is, finally, his eye open. But he has gone too far. Because he brought the money back to the priest and told them, you have allowed me to betray an innocent soul. And he brought the money back to go and give back to them. They said, what is that to us? Take care of it. And he poured the money on the floor. That is to say that there is still a measure of ignorance. See, you understand what I'm saying now? No, ignorance at the end of the day has no place in judgment finally. But the day of ignorance, God winked at. But now commended, now that's why I preach the gospel. So that nobody will stay in the day of ignorance. Are you with me, please? So, the first problem with man is ignorance. You can see that clearly written in all the scriptures. You can see it in Ephesians chapter 4, all of that. When you have that understanding, it doesn't make you to attack actions of men straight. Even if you say what men have done wrong, you quickly move into area of ignorance and light of understanding of what God is saying or has shared to guide man back to the way of God. That's why you must actually understand what you are saying. Because you need to really give understanding. Amen. Most of the message of the past, of the magic of the past, does not have understanding. Only has its armor. Just armor you. Ka, 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 ka. Seeing that you are a sinner now, seeing it as if your case is pitiable. The same person was a sinner 2 months ago. It was mercy. It was mercy that saved you. The same person was a sinner 5 years ago. It was mercy that saved you. So as much as you want so to repent, you can't put the blame. You shouldn't put the blame straight on the soul. That's why you are not going to find any place in scripture where there's a message that goes with you are lying, you go to hell. You don't find it. You are lying, you go to hell. You can't find such statement in scriptures. Because that statement is more of condemnation. Huh? Amen. If he dies, will he go to hell? Yes. But the way to take that of hell cannot be in such mode. So does not respond to such. So, that's why for us, for you, for I, we must have perfect understanding of what we're saying. With necessary scriptures that actually buttress what we are saying properly. Say amen. You must understand. You must have time with scriptures. Reflect on them before you say them. What gives strength to what you say is if they come from the place of understanding. For Luke chapter 1, the reason for Luke wrote his gospel, number one is that he has been there from the very first time when the whole thing began. Number two, he has heard the gospel from those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning. Number three, he has perfect understanding from the beginning. It seems good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order. So Luke's job is to arrange the gospel in order of how it happened. Most excellent Theophilus. So God will have to place someone like Luke there for such person. It's not, you're going to be able to reach to a king if the message is not in order. So you need a man who can capture it in detail and in order for the king to reason with it, or for nobles to receive it. So you should prepare as if you have been sent to nobles. If you don't find people who are simpler, no problem. But when you meet nobles, you should not run away. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Like you were never prepared for them. I wasn't ready for this. No. You should have, if you are teaching about people having life of Christ, you must have grasp of what that life is meant to do. What the life of Christ is meant to solve. Understand the progression of that life and see the need from what a man has progressed into the next thing he should come into. Just like if you hear a child who wants to come to school and you interact with the child, you will know, have an idea of his class. If you are a good teacher who has been used to the content of the curriculum for all this school, you know that this child should be in Adam Prior 3. Go and examine. He said, where's this last resort? We can't find the last resort. Go and examine him for Prior 3. Because you have understanding of the level of his understanding. Having not seen a report card, you can have an idea of what class he should belong to. So that's when you meet people, you should know exactly where they are. If they are sinners, okay. From where, what is the realm of sin they have been held on to? If they are believers, what has been their past experience, where they are? What is the next phase? So, for somebody who was almost in the midst of the world, who had just received the Holy Ghost, all of that, to be teaching about the building of the prophets. Because that is the last thing they taught in church. Or servants of our God. Fellow servants. I'm of thy fellow servants. And of them that had the testimony of Jesus. And I discussed about testimony of Jesus. You know what you're saying is unprofitable, right? Though you know it, but it's not, it's out of context. So it's when you have someone say you are understanding, is that you understand the progression and what what the progression are meant to do, the kind of people that need it, or the kind of situations that need it. So you can see that for Timothy, that was one of those things. He had an understanding of the scriptures, of the Holy Scriptures. And that one was good for him because it didn't just start from him, it was inherited. Now that salvation is in view, he has what it takes to make him wise unto salvation. Say amen. So, understanding is key in any way, it's life. Give me understanding. Then what's going to happen to me? I shall live. Acts 8, let me read from verse 28. So I was talking about the Ethiopian Enoch, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an Enoch of great authority, under Candace, of queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all our treasures, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I hope when the Spirit says such to us, I hope we can hear the Spirit say to us. These are the places when you don't know the voice of the Spirit. Eh? It's not when we want to get married. That the places when you need to have discerned that the Spirit is saying something to my heart. In those days, to know the voice of the Spirit was a major passageway, milestone, major milestone. You must know the voice of the Spirit. And if you don't know the voice of the Spirit, there's just you are under a limitation. So everybody, when you are born again, you want to know the voice of the Spirit, to know when God is speaking. I don't know if people have concern. Do you still have concern for that today? Any believer, if you have believed Jesus, you should care about hearing the voice of your Father. I will say now, my Father, our Father who art in heaven, and heaven is as far to is as far to us as heaven should be near to us. The voice of the Spirit makes heaven near, right? So the Spirit said to him, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? That was the entry point. That was his entry point. There's actually a lot of wisdom in knowing your entry point. The entry point is not always the same. And that's why you have to be a person who wait on the Spirit, waiting for entry point. But if you enter through a wrong point, a journey of 10 minutes can be the journey of 3 hours. It can end up in argument. Because you went through a wrong entry point. You have to wait on your Spirit to know. So for him, I think he would have just waved down the chariot, the man. And the man would have just slowed down and wondering what's going on. I would have told him that the Lord wants me to join you on this chariot. The Lord said to me, I should join you on this chariot. We want the Lord. Okay, come on. The Lord, come up. I will have shouted with him, hello, sir. How are you, sir? Okay, I'm just coming from the meeting in Jerusalem. And while that was going on, he was already peeping to what the man is reading. Because the man was opened the scripture. Robin was asked, "Sir, I can see you holding scripture. What are you reading there?" And the man would say, "It's Isaiah 53. And that became the entry point. So he knew, Philip knew what is in that Isaiah 53. But I'm sure the man was not reading it out verbally. Just say, I'm just reading about this servant in Isaiah. That was being led to the slaughter. And that opened up his mouth. Once he said that, Philip knew the whole place. So imagine if he says that one, he's wondering, Because already you have crammed your own scriptures before you met him. But the one he's reading, you're not used to it. And the entry point should have been the one he's reading. Show you what I'm saying now. If you go back to your own place, you have dabaru the whole thing for that moment. So the place of the scripture which he read was this. So in terms of, maybe just inch him an idea of what he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And Enoch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? So like, wow. For Philip, it was like breakthrough already. Do you know, ordinarily in waving him down, you could have made him angry. But the man was not stopping. He was on his chariot. He tried to stop him. You could have said something or done something that provoked him. That would not even make him say, come up. That's where the whole life of Christ is actually the gateway into preaching. Because somewhere there, the life we lose out somewhere there. If somebody doesn't listen to others in the show. Then Philip began, opened his mouth. And began at the same scripture. So it means that if I open Revelation 3, reading about the seven churches, if you meet me there, you should stay there. You stay there. So it means that you actually touch with the scripture. And you have good understanding of nearly every part. I know you may not be in a day, but once your heart is thinking like that, you will find out that you will have increase in understanding. Like I said before, because we don't really often see that we need, or we're going to be calling question. We don't really give ourselves to wanting to understand seriously. The need to understand in church seems to be enough for us. But if you know you're going to be called to question, then you will think about what answer you will give. I like that place that it began at the same scripture and preach. So anywhere in the Bible, you can preach Christ. Can you? If you open Leviticus. Leviticus. Can you preach Christ from Leviticus? But some places are, you can see Jesus there more easily. Some places you may not be able to see Jesus easily. So our pursuit must be that we have such understanding in scriptures to want to see Jesus in everywhere. Because from Genesis to Revelation, Jesus lie across it. From his feet to his head is across Genesis to Revelation. Praise God. And we know what happened after that preaching. In fact, he didn't preach to want to make him baptized that day. For him, he wanted just to believe in Jesus. But he had told him that those who believe are baptized. And all of a sudden they came across water. He said, this is water. What stopped me from being baptized? And now said, if thou believest with all thy heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Within that moment, he was persuaded by understanding. The door to his faith before was understanding. And that did it. He has gone to Bible school to learn how to preach. And import the preaching of Peter. He don't work there. The man was just wondering, what have I done now? What is him? What have I done now? What have I done now? But when he was preaching at Jerusalem in Acts 2, the people knew that they are the one. So you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that was in contest. So it's not every time people have to feel a sense of soberness, a sense of feeling convicted. This man, all he needs, understanding. He's a man whose heart is already prone to faith. And you will meet people like that. Their heart has been prone to, that's why you have to check up. You talk with people and check up where they are. And all he needed was to understand. And that was it. And I believe. In fact, he put it, if thou believest with all thy heart. Why should he put all thy heart? He wants to be sure that indeed. But it looked like a quick walk. See, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes you may have to combine 4, 5, sometimes 6 methods in just a message. But just shedding light. So he has to bring it in. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Not if thou believe. Paul didn't use that for the jailer. He believed on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Can you see that? Because that experience there was already convincing to the jailer. Very convincing. People that were in prison were released from their shame and they didn't run away. He was going to stab himself, kill himself. He said, we are here. Don't kill yourself. You are here. We're enjoying economy in your prison house. Because that incident could have led to his own death. So you stayed? Then God is in you already. So what shall I do that I might be saved? So what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. Why? He already has that conviction from the encounter. But for Philip, he was not too sure. So he has to put that cross there. If thou believe with all thy heart. Because I believe. And straightway, they went to the water. And he was baptized. I'm just like that. All you need is understanding. There's no fast route to this matter. But you can. It's just like when you are driving your car. When you're driving your car, if you're driving manual before, you know how to engage your clutch and your throttle and your gear system. Everything works like that one. And you know when you engage it, you know when you release this one, you know when it moves. And that's the wildlife with the beginners there. How do you know when to release this one? When to throttle this one? How do you know? It looks as if it's a magic. But within a short time, the brain manages it and just know what to do, when to press it, what to release without thinking. It becomes unconscious, right? That same thing when you bring it to automatic by itself. It doesn't use your brain, it uses some brain. So some of the things I say now, when you get used to it over time, he start using his own brain. Just know what to say, what not to say. You meet somebody, you just see the gateway, you just see the door open. And you hear the word, we say that the door to the Gentiles was open. I didn't know the door was open. A large door is open to us. I didn't know it's a large door. It's used over time. And it's not that maybe he saw in the vision, no. It's used. Sometimes they will meet only one person. And they knew that the door to the city has been opened. Like he met Dorcas. When he met Dorcas, he knew the door to that city has been opened. Through one woman. And sometimes you have met 20 people. The door has not been opened. Somebody can be the key. When you meet him, like the woman at the well. A man went to the city and told every man. That woman is more than a legion. Went back to the city, told every man, come and see. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? He was shouting everywhere until there was a gathering that day. So such a man, a person, when you meet her, from just dancing with that spirit, you just know that there's a door here. One person will take you, go and meet the king, go and meet, he will, and such person can be a door. So all of this is used, when you use that realm of the spirit, you have understanding there, okay? There's no way to learn these things except you are there. And they are part of the scheme of the spirit you learn in your growth. But if we only teach you from scriptures, it will just be practical, just be word teaching. It won't be experiential. Yes. It won't be experiential. I want all of us to get involved in this phase. It's a lot of blessing in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Say amen. The gospel, the message of Peter at Pentecost. Also, like that message contains conviction, persuasion. It also contains understanding. That message was a long message. It was mixing the whole thing together. And I believe that God really wired Peter to be able to do that. So it's not really easy to meet the Jews. Also, if you go to the message of Stephen, Stephen's message is the longest. More than 50 something verses was stating the message of Stephen. How? But God really blessed Luke. To even capture those messages itself is the power of the Holy Ghost. to write back that message. For Peter in Acts 2, you see the way he began? He began, first of all, to dissolve, to give definition to what happened that day. Because there was a confusion already on ground. Amen. So, men and brethren, this be not drunken as he supposed. It is but the third hour of the day. So he has to, first of all, dissolve that. So they can now listen to what the day is meant for. Because they already had a misconception about the day. Are we in the house, please? So if you don't do that, whatever you are saying cannot connect. They already have a mindset. It's like somebody saying, I don't think Jesus is the Son of God. I don't think so. How can a man be the Son of God? So, if you're going to make such a mind, the first thing to address is to know that God is not a man. And God, if you want a son, will not get a son like a man will get a son. If he has to obey man's procedure by all means, then he's not the creator. So already the whole thing first, verse 9 talking about how God begat Jesus. That statement already knocked that person on. Okay, it's true, God is God. They can listen to what you are saying. If you don't knock what you have said like that, it's not following you. Because he already has the mindset that God cannot have a son. And they have said that for many years. God does not have a wife. How can I have a son? And they are saying, it makes sense to them. So a lot will be more. And it can be. But just one man that will come and par two statements, we deserve that. Then we can all explain to them. And you will know that they will follow you now to know how God begat his son. Praise the Lord. So all of those statements, we have to wait on the Spirit for God, the Spirit to breathe to us to know how to answer. It's true, we want to preach, but preaching is an answer to thoughts. Uh-huh. And what to say. Heaven has to bring it. And we have to wait on it. If you don't know, if you can't see it exactly, just start from what looks friendly. See, you know what I'm saying? What looks friendly? We can't be thinking about God does not really on God. God says, I have a son. He has a son. And we have to believe him. Just start like that one. You don't know what to say. But you know what to say. See, you know what I'm saying? You can start from what to say, but you are waiting on the active word that will shift the discourse. You are waiting. When the active word comes, the whole thing shifts. Then, other things you want to give. So, in that place, Acts 2, amen. That's what the Holy Ghost does anyway. For the Holy Ghost to teach us, will teach you what to say. At such hour, it will give you the right words to say. Jesus said, don't be worried about what you will say. The Spirit of your Father will give you the right word to say at such a time. And he always do that. Have you ever seen him do that before? Huh? He has always done that. You'll just be amazed on how the discourse shift. And you're finding confidence in what to say. So we're reading 2:14. But Peter standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. That word be this known is, be this understood by you. And hearken to my words. But these are not drunken as you suppose. Sin, it is but the third hour. That whole investment would have been wasted if not for Peter. That defined what the hour was meant for. But it prepared their mind that you need to understand what the scripture said. That's in Joel. And he quoted Joel and updated Joel based on the present emphasis of what the Spirit is doing. Updated Joel, and from there he was gliding. Nearly finished quoting Joel, the pool of the Spirit opened and was just gliding in the Spirit in a discourse. At the end of the day, this same Jesus, God had made both Lord and what? And Christ. And all of them were convinced already. Praise God. Say amen. So, most of the, when you say, majorly in the message, that normally has a entry, body, and a way of concluding or landing. Most of the time, the body is always understanding. That's why you have to have enough scripture to open eyes of understanding. Once you have done the initial, that makes heart open and ready. Because I'm going to say today, that even of Israel, hearken unto me. He has called for, I have some to explain. Be this known to you and hearken to my words. Peter uses that. Paul also uses that very well. Listen to me. Sometimes we wave to the audience. I have something to say. We must just do something to be sure that he has gained your attention. And I think those of us who are teachers in class also do that right. We can spend the first 30 minutes to ensure we get our children's attention because we don't know what they went through in that class. So when you come in, you don't just flow in like they just finished a class. You bring them to your class. You get their attention. So there's always that modality of something that could be like being friendly. Huh? Could be being friendly. Could be a matter of showing interest in what that person is doing. And from there, you can go to the next thing. And next thing that will open, that you have to say something from the Lord. Because you're going to move from natural to the Spirit, there must be an entry point that you are moving. You know what I'm saying? Aha. So, it's all about when he says, I will make you fishers of men. He just said, I will make you. If you are a fisher of soul, what does it mean? You know the dynamics of soul. If there's anything any believer should know, is soul. God, the church is a house of soul business. It's soul. For you, soul should be like when the what is common good around? What is common good? That you know so much. Like you know pure water. Eh? Should be asked that. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you are fishing for men, like you are fishing for fish. You know how much of understanding, all kind of fishes, all kind of, they know timing, they know everything about. You know when you get there, there will be no fish. That was why the miracle of lunch your night was like, Jesus, what are you saying? All through the night, when fishes normally come out, we no catch. You say as you lunch during the day, they understood that in the day, you don't find fishes. That's how much you should understand men. To know when they will not listen, when they are not, it's not the mood, and be watching their mood, and to know what to say to change their mood, bring them to the mood where you want them to be accessible, and use the door. Because the gospel is soul business. Everything about the gospel, from the first to the last, is about a soul. Even ourselves, we are the first specimen, Abi. We are the cadaver, or the first pattern. Then to other souls we're going to meet. So you must understand souls. I was talking with somebody today, you know, I was telling him about the behavior of the husband, this. And I said, one, two. I said, it's like this. He will talk this way, he will like this one. He will just nod his head. I'm not in their house, but from the first two things we said about that, I know the behavior of that soul. You'll be superstitious. You have tendency to curse. But that was my just. So I said, so it's not devil from anywhere. It's a soul disease. Because you could feel that it is one spirit that's attacking your husband. No, that's how you, that's, you know, sometimes you see the way your husband or wife, you don't believe that that's my wife or husband. You feel, maybe it is the mother that is enchanting her. Yeah. No, that's who he is. That is, so your first miracle is to know, to accept that is my husband. He's psychotically, whatever, there, unstable. You must accept that. Then, how do I handle it? If you are more stable, then God has put you there to handle the instability. Eh? Because if you are the nurse or doctor, you manage your patient, right? But that's where you collect your salary from. It's now you manage your patient, that they pay you salary. So you will look for every way to manage your patient. So go and look for every way to manage your husband. What I'm just saying is that gospel is soul business. If people say 1, 2 to you, you should know what they will say next. What they will not say. Because souls are in their species. Then you see one white fowl. You see brown fowl. Do you see the difference? Do you see any difference? One is white fowl, and that one is red fowl. The behavior is the same. God does not intervene. The only difference that is different, their nature is the same. So when you preach the more, as you preach under the Holy Ghost more, you know souls. You see behavior of souls. And you know some souls, when you have to quiet. Say, I'm not talking to you. And like bad Jesus. And you are not insulting him. He needs such sharp words to stay away from the discourse. It's a spoiler. He doesn't have salvation at that moment, maybe later on. I can spoil the business on ground. Sir, I'm not talking to you, sir. I'm not talking to you, sir. I'm not talking to you. And in the spirit, you are not dishonoring the person. Say, you're upset now. Amen. Paul did that when he was talking to with soldiers, Paulus. And Elymas was distracting the man. And he turned to him. He turned to Elymas. And gave him his own. Oh, booty effing. The man adjusted quickly. Because he doesn't know if this one preaching. if my own way. I just said quickly. Amen. So, that I'm saying, you can't just have a temperament pattern I'm a gentleman. And it's not everything that goes, that will sometimes go gently. Yes. It's not everything that. So you must be wired to be able to respond for the demand of the hour. We will have lost that man. Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And he spoke and said to him, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Amen. Immediately the deputy responded quickly. When he saw what was done, believed. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Eh? But it's not just what Paul did. He had been following before, but he was being distracted. The thing that happened, his heart was released to believe what he had been hearing before. The old message would have been lost. So I'm just trying to do about understanding. Understanding is key. Very key. Every soul needs understanding. If you just said that those who nail him to the cross, if you just said that they don't know what they do, then nobody know. Nobody know what he's doing. So let's help souls. The more you bring me more scriptures, the more you shed more light. And that word for the sun is to shed light. You shed light. Don't quickly want people to conclude light in two scriptures. Shed more light. Okay? Don't say because they are not responding with two scriptures, that's why they are stubborn. It may be that they have not seen enough. Shed more light. To the point that you are persuaded that what is being spoken has been enlightening enough. Let's see this one also, that the gospel could be spoken as defense. A preacher must also sometimes stand in defense of the gospel or defense of truth. It's like when you stand among those who want to mock the gospel, or those who seem to know the gospel in a way, and they want to make mockery of what you are saying. That defense of the gospel, every one of us is involved in that. Because every day things happen around you that is done or spoken to spite the gospel, and we walk away. Because we don't know, we're not aware that hour was an hour of defense of the gospel. For example, all churches are thieves. All pastors are thieves. You hear them, this boy don't. You shouldn't hear that and walk away. Those who say it must know that next time they don't say that kind of thing around you. Because what they will hear back, they are not ready for it. They say them sometimes as if they are joking, but they are saying them to spite the gospel. And to strengthen the heart of somebody who feels that next time they don't have to go to church. What persuades men to go to church is those careless words. And people drop it around you sometimes, and we don't know that it's already a spite that needs to be defended. Okay? So, that aspect today is what the apologetics are doing. Apologetics. Yeah. It has become a school of thought of how gospel is preached. It's preached majorly to defend the gospel. And to use that defense to get soul, sometimes in defending the gospel, they can be there for the next 1 year. But a soul we consider. So then when you listen to some people who followed Slam Shaman, they have been followed there for the past 2 years. After 2 years, they are convinced enough to give their life. Now that's because in today's world, everybody has been hijacked by one ideology or the other. There's hardly anybody referring to that. It's not already in an ideology. And it's not a time of total ignorance. See what I'm saying? The ignorance we have today is to be hijacked by ideologies. Everybody feels I know what I'm doing. And I have a reason for what I'm doing. The age where people feel that I don't, I don't know, come and talk to me, I don't know. That age is nearly gone. There's a little money you meet now that will not tell you I know what I'm doing. You meet them, I'm a Muslim, I like to be a Muslim, I want to remain Muslim, I want to die Muslim. When you meet such, what will you do? But you know he doesn't know what he's saying. He has said, he made a statement that looks as if it's close. It's close. It's defending. It's creating a shield. Uh-huh. Yeah, the one that will know that is a lie. Eh? That thing you are saying, somebody told you. And you have never proved it. One day I told one Muslim around me, I said, since you were born, have you ever thought in your mind, maybe this is not true? That every woman who is looking for truth must always have a position in your mind. What if it's not true? Though I'm born as a Christian, what if it's not true? That makes you to go and check up. Check up if it's really true. As they say, it's true. When there are people that are in church, they believe Jesus, but they have never thought, what if it's not true? But because you can believe a lie. Another one I would say, our belief system is opposite. It's opposite. And the two of us can never be correct. You see that two of us are not correct. Or one of us is not correct. So it already called for, let's check out for who is not correct. From every tenet of our faith is opposing. Your own is attacking my faith straight. My faith is saying it is true. So we have to find out who is doing the damage. Have I been lied to, or it's your faith that was told to you as a lie? So I'm just trying to say that sometimes people make utterances that somebody is closed or it's not closed. There are things you can say that will provoke someone that, that's true. Really, really. Defense of the gospel. Say amen. Paul did much of that. He did much of that. I think in Philippians, that was one thing that Paul was establishing as his major trust in the gospel. Amen. Let's see 1:7. Philippians 1:7. Let me see. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. And as much, he has both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. So Paul would defend the gospel and confirm it. And confirm it by preaching. So when you see Paul, like in the book of Acts of the Apostle, in his last lap of his apostolic whatever, he was confined to a house arrest. You know that place? That was to be 28 of Acts of the Apostle. He was given house arrest. So people comes to Paul. Amen. Are you there with me, please? So 17, I came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or custom of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hand of the Romans, who then, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, it was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He was seeking audience. Verse 23 says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning. From morning till evening. Paul knew the shop, no lunch. Sir, to be sharing, to be opening scriptures, morning till evening. Then, preaching Jesus to him is food. It's food. No wonder he was preaching in church. He preached overnight. Sunday service. Paul preach overnight. Morning service was Sunday. Till afternoon, sir. Till night. To dead night that a man could sleep off. And after they carry Cuticus, he continued his message. Oh my. That's how much of joy he has to see, chance to meet a soul. For people meet a soul, no wonder you meet Paul in 1 year, you have become a minister. In 1 year, someone like Philemon, all of them, Onesimus, all of them, short time. Because the level of discourse of Paul, level of discourse. Paul can reason in the gospel. Thoughts, reasonings. Amen. I don't know. I'm sure that there are souls like Paul's souls in the house there. I believe strongly that there are souls that Jesus brought because they are machine of the gospel. Paul is one man army. It doesn't matter if you agree or not. Paul will connect with those who are agreeing. See, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. You know they care. If you and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, where speak the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing shall hear and see not. For the heart of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes are deaf, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, received all that came into him, not to go and greet him and see his face, so, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding. 2 years. I don't know how many ministers Paul made in 2 years. It's not conducting crusade. It's not ministering healing. Teaching the kingdom. So the message itself is the kingdom. Teaching the kingdom. It was not like every beginning of the gospel of Jesus, when the evening would teach, preach, and heal. Paul not the healing body. In a hot, raw message. Persuading men. You know, if it was like the evening of Jesus' meetings, Luke will write it. It was like what Jesus was doing for 40 days. Preaching the kingdom of God. The matter of the kingdom, Boku too much. That we can't finish talking it. We say it this way. From various side of it. For 2 years. 2 years. That's why we go to church to preach for 40 minutes. Eh? That's what people have service for. And preach for 30 minutes. I have 5 services today on the Sunday. All the 5 services, not even up to 1. Because there's no word, there's no message of the kingdom. Praise God. Say amen. So, defense of the gospel. It's very important that you have something to answer. Everyone I ask you of hope, why this one? How can you say God is 3? It's 3 nani. Why would you say it's not 3? You have not defended that thing. Because in his own book also, he was now say his own book is eternal. So how can it be eternal? Eternal, no. So nobody is going to shift ground. Abby? So you must always have an answer to give. So to ensure that people see the hope, they see the gospel, they see the need of every soul in the gospel. Everything in the gospel, you must know why it is like that. Why do you have triune God? Our God is God. Our God is love. And God is relational. Our God relates. Before he made us, he has been related with himself. As I was let us. Our God is explained as us. And that's why God will want to also say love one another, because that's how he exists. How can you have Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? All manner of questions are in man's mind. Sometimes, I don't know, if you go online, I don't know. I'm sure that sometimes you meet apologetics discussion online. But none of you don't have interest. We don't have interest. Do you have interest? You don't have interest. Without popular song like Sam Shamon, how many of you know Sam Shamon? Let me see Sam Shamon. Let me see your hand. You know Sam Shamon? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many of you know David Wood? The same people. How many of you know God Logic? The same people. So, write down. Write down. You are going to go online. I'm going to search for Sam Shamon. Sorry? God Logic. David Wood. Christian Prince. They are, those guys have turned millions of Muslims. They have turned millions. With persuasion, not even that, with persuasion that Christ is the way. Not those who just believe without conviction. Who can go back tomorrow? Those who have come to know that there is no light in the other side. What they use is an aspect of engagement of the gospel. And they do it very well. So, I don't know when I'm going to ask you how many of the discourse you have listened to. You should like discourse. You should like discourse. You should like discourse of truth. You should like expanding matter, exposing matter. So what do you like really? There are many people now that are arising as apologetics in Nigeria. And they are doing serious job. Serious job. They can preach from Quran. Vast in Quran, vast in the Bible. And they have been able to expose consistently in recent time that the person called Allah is an idol. What they did in the north, you can't do in the west easily. West is a scholastic terrain. You can't come with that kind of northern Sharia. Can't stretch that and stretch it in the west, and west will know. So we have to understand all of this, because also sometimes we can be engaged in discourse that will need apologetic approach to handle. Say amen. Defending the gospel. Defense of the gospel. Acts 22. Let me see 22 of Acts. From verse 1, Paul was given there his experience on the way to Damascus as a defense of his message. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept him all silent. You know, Saul could have, he had Romans, Because he grew up in Tarsus. But when he was going to talk to the Jews, he went for the Jewish language. So you can see that sometimes preaching in Yoruba could be the way to make the thing ghetto. When you are hearing through God talk now, you are hearing some pigeon. There's some people before, and when they hear the message, they disconnect. They believe I don't. They heard some little English, but they don't know English. It's not for me. That just little pigeon there, pull them in and give them a sense of belonging. But in today's world, there's hardly anybody today who does not hear any English. Hardly use anybody. But they may not be inclined to learn it through English. If you bait them through the language they understand, they can relate with what I say in English. So I know through God talk, has more audience today than before. So, don't say, I know Queen's English. Sometimes you can drop your Queen English. If you're a preacher, you are that dynamics. You can drop your Queen's English. Wait till I want to tell you. You go hear them all. It be for all of us. All of us, Jesus died for all of us. You can't hear it in your language. Some of it is a language of an oak, and I don't care. When you hear the pigeon of the Niger Delta, it's not the pigeon of Benin. Now, pigeon of I don't care. And when they hear their own pigeon, they attend more to it. But that is the way they hear. So, all you have learned at your degree does not have reckoning in the gospel. You must be all things to all men. Yes, for Paul, for Luke, being a doctor does not make any sense. It's serving the will of Jesus that makes a sense. The utmost sense is to ensure you get to your audience, not to have a finest. Nobody care about your finest. What God care about is starvation. If your finest will bring starvation, okay. Once in a while. There are much more many times he doesn't need your finest. But the people he wants to reach to are not having finest. God reach out most of the time more to less to nobles. Though he wants all men to be saved. That God wants God's love reach more to what do you call them now? Men who are base. Not many nobles are called. So, because nobles are always proud. And God resists the proud. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, that's defense. Let's just... I think you're noting different... I'm saying it's different parts so that we can... Note that preachers sometimes know what they are doing, or they know what the Holy Ghost is doing, and they copy the Holy Ghost in that area. If the apologetic is the way to reach, then you engage like that consistently, because that's what the soul needs. Because ideologies can only be, most of them can only be hacked down if you can bring in lots of thoughts that are proved, established. Next one is reasoning. Reasoning, that's Paul's word. Reason. And I know that God also has it. Let us reason together. Reasoning the gospel. Reasoning. Paul has so much of reasoning. I think Stephen's message also has reasoning. That message is so long. I won't go through many of them. Seven. Ephesians 7. Then said it to the high priest at this thing. So, and he said, men and brethren and father, hearken unto me. Hearken, the God of Abraham appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, go thee. He brought like a whole story. And because an average Jew have high regard for Abraham, there's no way you bring story of Abraham in that anybody will not listen. Much more if you're not speaking against Abraham. Somewhere there, every Jewish man have great respect for Abraham as their father. Abraham, Moses, David, they are icons you don't play around. So what they see, the way you undo them, there's the way they adjust their seat. To hear the rest. So he began from Abraham and spent time on Abraham. I think from that verse 2, are you there with me? Down to 8 is Abraham. Then from 9 to around 18 or so, is on the sons of Jacob to Moses. In all of those places, there was nothing spoken there that was giving a feeling of what he would say. He was just expanding on the dealing of God with their fathers. Amen. All of a sudden, he changed the gear. I think it should be from around 38 or so. It was talking about how the fathers, how they disobeyed the prophets like that. That's why I changed the girl. But they have heard the message already. Verse 52 says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them with shield before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayer and murderer, who have received the law by the dispersion of angels and have not kept it. And that was how he began to hack it. So already they have drunk enough. They have to, the message has to finish. But see, they build up. So I'm just trying to say that many of the apostles or preachers, they have good reasoning. How could, can you see the way capture the full story? If I said to the government, tell me the story of Abraham to Jacob, in just 200 words. That's summary, right? Summary. Know that there's no way you will be a student of the gospel of the spirit and not be lettered. Because nearly every walk of life is in the gospel. Literary, hearts, oh man, there's nothing you are looking for. That makes you vast. Without you knowing, without having to go and read the book of literature, you are reading, when you are reading Bible, you are reading literature book. Without going to read the book of history, you are reading history book. Without going to read constitution, you are reading constitution book. Legal book. Without going to read, to go and study about culture, cultural book, politics, administration, science, everything is there. Praise God. So, I like Paul's reasoning. Let's check this place. That should be before he got to, that's in all things. Corinth. I'm going to come back to Athens. I like that place. But let's see this place. In Corinth. Let me see from 4. Okay, from 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. I found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. You know, it's not just to attack the Jews and not get the result of what you got, like Stephen. Sure, you know what I'm saying? If you want to get across to the Jews and stay long with them, you have to go most of the time via reasoning or shedding light of understanding. So Paul, every time, every Sabbath, he has taken it as a normal time. Normally when you get to the synagogue in Sabbath, it's an open place. Anybody can come, take the scroll and read. They used that and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus Christ. Can you see that? So we'll have reason before he will testify. So reasoning softened the ground. I don't know if you have something now. And you are not trying to preach straight, but you are softening the ground by shedding light, just taking scriptures and look at this. Look at this. Who is talking about there? You may not even say who he's talking about. You are popping scriptures in their mind. Popping it up. And they are seeing it. And they can't deny it. They are seeing it. They can't deny it. Yet you are not telling them to believe Jesus. But they are seeing Jesus in the scriptures. So at the point, he just was pressed in the spirit that he had reasoned enough. He began to testify that Jesus was Christ. And in most cases, he had one of the best converts. I mean, the largest convert in Corinth. Corinth church was a big church. Amen. Are we together, please? So reasoning look as if Holy Ghost is not there. It's not a highly tense spirit thing. And as I said, some of the people, some of our brethren who doesn't, it's not every time things look tense. Sometimes you can just look as if it's, but the person, the minister or the preacher know where he's going. And it's watching for the, when the Holy Ghost will give a door for, to strike. And you are opening more. Look at this. Look at that. Check this. Check that. Look at this. Look at that. When people already have conviction, you can't turn them easily. Because they already had their conviction before. And somebody, for example, who is not just born a Muslim, he has studied books. So he has committed himself over and over by those books. You can't just turn him just overnight like that. Instead, Jesus will just come by himself, appear to him in an unusual way, and bring conversion. You will need to do a lot of watching on the soul. Amen. So it means that from this moment, we're going to meet people that looks difficult. They won't scare us. And we won't abandon them as if God cannot reach them. Yes. People in our family, people here and there, we have looked at them for 5 years. But we must start laying consciously. Consciously lay things for the next phase. There's a phase of acquaintance. Eh? When people just come and hand us to come and look at us, and in their heart, they know that God has helped these people. It has done a job. It could be the next chapter. So in our heart, we must look at what is the next phase. Next phase that will end up in conversion. Sometimes we quickly say, Let the Lord take over from now. And though you still saying you should still take over from now. No, I'm not taking over until you have done your part. Praise the Lord. I see a great army being raised in this season. A great army being raised. You can see, that was 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. So most of them, anywhere where God allow gospel to be listened, it doesn't quickly bring violence. Listening, get things to learn more gradually. And really there was a lot of harvest in that place, in Corinth. And he continued there a year and 6 months. Can you see that? Paul stayed in that city, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the tabletop of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. For if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look to it, for I will be no judge of such matter. Are you there with me? And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Suthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. This man got converted and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after he had tarried there, he had a good while, then took his leave for the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him Priscilla and Aquila. That's why he got them. Having shown his head in Cenchreae, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So Jews today are like Muslims. It's easier to get to them by reasoning with them. Because that is where their hormone does not hit the bar. Yes. So you have to learn to reason with them. Okay? Of the same book. You can see that the book of Acts is a document of a thesis for preachers. But often we just read them through like that. We don't note some of these things. 24, are you there with me? Let me read 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ and the reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. What happened? Felix trembled. Felix trembled. What is it? Go thy way for this time. When I have a, he just discharged him. Okay. When I have a covenant season, I will come. He never called for Paul again. Paul. I love Paul. I tell you, I love Paul. Paul was such a machine. Such machine. He handled all kinds of difficult situations, my man. Felix trembled. Felix was governor. Yoruba. So for someone like that one, the way to get across to the kind of is by reasoning. But they think they know something. When you meet kings, governors, all of that, they didn't know something. But if you are the one that doesn't know anything, all this, we just go to church every day. What's about this, your church? When you hear that, you should be worshiping for a day. Daddy, can we just... I just know that... I don't really know much, but I just feel some few things I know about this church issues. I just let you see them with me. Not let me teach you, but let me let you see them with me. That we know that you're not whitewashed. You're not brainwashed. And you begin gradually. That's true. That's true. It will be true until the truth enters his own heart. Is I exposing his own matter? I know Paul for him to have handled righteousness, judgment, and temperance. You know that there are the things that that nations owed. So I'm saying righteousness, judgment. It was handling that to come, not the present one you are handling. The one to come. How God will judge the world by Jesus Christ. Fear came on him. Because being the husband of a Jewish lady, he knows the prophets. And when you talk from the prophets, he knows that you are talking from the prophets. Say amen. Reasoning. So our brain is not useless, right? You must be able to reason in scriptures. Reasoning. I think I'm going to appoint another time for practical. For this. And I will bring you up to come and reason with me. Or to come and convince me. Or come and persuade me. Barnabas, you should be able to persuade me or convince me or convict me. Amen. I believe strongly that the Lord is strengthening us, and emboldening our heart in the Holy Ghost. And to know that out of the kings are in God's hand. Men can have big regalia. But heart is what God deals with. And that's why I think it is in James. God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. So you must know how to go straight to the heart of men. Respect their person, but go for their heart. And may I open his mouth instead of a truth. I perceive that God is no respecter of person. When every nation either feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Take a scripture and expand it. What's the meaning of expanding? To expound. Not expand, expound. To expound scriptures. To talk more. It's the same scripture, talk more into it. And sometimes many of us it's like saying the godly man being godly. They say you can talk on godly and expand on God, and you stay on it. You are not going. You stay on it. You stay on it, and keep on bringing more scriptures to expound. You are not expanding it. You are expounding it. You hear that? You are not making it very large. You are hewing it out. Yeah, just like a bag that has many clothes packed tightly, and you are removing clothes from the same bag. And as soon as the bag is not going down, you are removing more clothes. So what Jesus was doing with those guys on the way to Emmaus was expounding scriptures. He was bringing strong points to show them that he needed to have suffered after that his glory. And that's all. So he was only staying on suffering and entrance to glory. I was from the Psalm, from the prophets, from Moses, was on that. On the time came, the heart born. The heart born. The wood were so plenty on the same matter. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Why he will talk with us? By the way, why he opened to us the scriptures? That open is expounding the scriptures. It began from Moses. The law. That the words which I speak unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So there were the things. Okay, verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He knew he would stay with them. He just did as if they have had enough. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening. Kai. These guys had Jesus from resurrection to stay with them overnight. And the day is fast spent, and he went into them and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. I think you wish you had this pen, right? Who had a night with Jesus after the resurrection? Jesus is not such a wonderful person. Can you imagine? The Son in his glory. Men could just say, stay back with us, and he would just stay like like a mere man. Jesus is so unassuming. Even after the resurrection, so unassuming. He's so simple. So simple. Even Jesus of Nazareth, he said he should be a man that when he's coming, the whole cities, entourage, should have had up to 200 of his guys who are the ministry men who will be opening the doors, opening the place for him. So on and zooming. Oh Lord Jesus, help us to see you, huh? And love the way you are, and love the way you are. Because it's not like our governors. So sometimes we just like those things. We like just having people on 50 cars with siren. Just like those things. And in any way, it makes ministry look bogus. But it's not really Jesus' nature. It's not really. I'm not too sure that physically on earth here, that Jesus knew these guys. They were part of the disciples that he didn't know. I'm sure physically he was meeting them for the first time on the road to Emmaus. And he had connected to them closely to a point that he could sleep in their house. Huh? You should be looking for greedy hotel to sleep in. And they constrain him. Abide with us, for it is towards evening. And the day is fast spent. And he went in to tarry on with them. And came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And they knew him. What happened next? And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us So that's what happens when you expound. And that's a lot of diligence. Sometimes just take one thought. Just take walk in the spirit. And try to talk more on only walk in the spirit. And see how long you can stay on it. Within 10 minutes, you have jumped to something else. But you can stay on it and fetch scriptures around that area and stay on it. It helps those to quickly see or for hearts to burn. It's like when you want to, some of you now, you have never used wood before, firewood to cook. How many of you here have used firewood before? Okay. You are not too much of city girls or boys. When you cook with firewood, you know that there's a way to connect to firewood. Eh? If you just put firewood there, it won't lit. There's a way to place the firewood that will make air pass through it. And fire will. So there's a way to lay scriptures. When you are expounding, that make them touch head to head. And allow air to breathe. Allow air, allow breath to come through them. That is a lot of discipline. It doesn't just come by the Holy Ghost like that. You're going to stay on, sometimes on thoughts, on subjects, on article, on object, all of that, and reason around them sometimes. Amen. So what it does is that it empower your sense of expounding. All the faculties are in our brain. They are unused. That's why a preacher of Jesus is a resourceful person. I'm not a preacher of Jesus in this who preaches by the Spirit. He's a resourceful person. It's a creative by the Spirit. No, over time of use, it's very creative by the Spirit. What's going to take to carry people along with message all the time? We're here on Monday. We're here on Tuesday. We're here on Wednesday. We're here on Thursday. We'll be here on tomorrow. We'll be here on maybe on Sunday. To sustain. But somebody here just get tired. So there must be a renewing of thoughts to sustain your passion or your hunger for more. So preaching, I'm not preaching now that the Holy Ghost is not for a lazy man. Only prayer does not solve this matter. You're going to be diligent. When you hear Luke said, we have certainty. Not by sleeping and waking up. For you can't be with Paul and be lazy. Paul is a tough man. For them to have followed Paul, they followed him to prison, out of prison, without being in prison themselves. Once you're in prison Paul, you're already in prison Luke. Lord, get these souls. Hallelujah. I went to the house together. So that's how this. So they are tough people. They are. No more that Bible called them workmen. Workmen. They are God's workmen. It's not everyone that can work with God. They are needed not to be. They are workmen. Workmen. And that word for workmen is to. They are like us. They are God's horses. No, that should be Timothy. Workmen are needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elisha machine, the preacher. Elisha. Your mind is always thinking, always taking thoughts and looking at thoughts. Looking at thoughts. Looking at thoughts. But that becomes your provocation. And that should be a vocation that all of us will enter into as we drift into the little part of our life. You'll be taught machines of the gospel. And there's hardly no thought that meets you that you have not thought about before. Can you see that? There's hardly any thought. And that's what Jesus says. There's hardly any thought you bring to Jesus that is being taught about for the first time. He has thought about it. He has moved with the Spirit in looking and searching for thoughts. So all he does is combine thoughts to thoughts. And divine will is shown there. Thoughts to thoughts. Divine will is shown there. Praise the Lord. The Lord will grant us help to be very hard working. It will take laziness away from, far from us. And like I said, one of the places we will start the job from is from scriptures. But at least generally speaking, we should be able to go through the Bible once in a year. Abby? And let's start diligence. Let's start it now. There are things that need for action. Action, action. Now. Or else all we are teaching now will just be part of the things in our archives. We had preacher school in 2026. Maybe that is 2032. Yes. It's 2026. Yes. God forbid that one. This one will take us over and become a defining factor for our walk with God in Jesus' name. You'll be on the field. We'll make friends with somebody else. We'll be talking to him. You'll meet, you'll get anywhere. You'll meet people on the road. You'll meet people at various places. And it said, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Let your conversation, and let it be. Oh, Nigeria's current, this economy in Nigeria now, the price of things in Nigeria, don't be carried away with price of things in Nigeria without seeing how to bring conversation. That is not conversation of the gospel. What is the gospel saying about it? What the Bible said, Lord, tomato, atta, eja, for 2 hours, and they discuss, and they pari. So simply, it's a canon discourse. Without the spiritual resolve, in the midst of that, it must enter the spiritual resolve. Because from the beginning of the world, inflation has always been on the earth here. When I was going to school, Coke was 10, 65 naira or 3 naira. When I was in university, I'm not saying university. Or couple, I don't even know how much there. I don't know how much. Transport between Ondo and Ilorin, when I began to go to Ilorin, was 3 naira. So there's no inflation you're talking about today that is like come for the first time. It's not new now. It's not new. So how are we going to spend 2 hours discussing and talking about that? Tomato, and what a lay for 30 minutes. I was telling, was it Lawrence today? We're talking about inverter and the rest of that. So I was telling about the price change in the past 2 months that's changed from this to that one. I said, I'm not ready for that now. Maybe towards the end of the year, I'll be ready for it. I said, when we get there, whatever it costs, we'll buy there. When we are ready. Eh? What do you take to buy them? Maybe the cost. Somebody did not buy a car when it was 10,000 naira now. You only bought when it becomes 60 million. When it was 5,000, it didn't buy. So when it becomes 6 million. So how would that one become news? Become gospel? Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, striving together to establish, to make the gospel seen in every matter. Once you are driving like that one, you just say, Odeniyan. See, the gospel lands over. Odeniyan. Any gospel. The gospel book. One day you will not bring that. Why gospel is sent, is under control of everything. You read, you talk about it. I know you have been observing it all the time. Each time we talk about it here, maybe, I'm not trying to do that to prove to be a church person. I'm saying that because the gospel really speaking is already that will remain. All this thing will keep on changing. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. You must give reason for your behavior. And that becomes the gospel. All the ones you are saying, that's the way to say it, though. That's the way to think about it, though. They are not hearing you until you turn to gospel. Just one statement you are making is not entering anywhere. You must bring a thought in to establish that way of life. They will not know it's not fanaticism. It's not like you're being fanatic. It's not like you're being religious. It's just that that is the mindset that man should live on the earth here. Or else we waste away. Praise God. Acts 18. I've already been in school. 18. 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being favored in the spirit as Apollos, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, what they do? And expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Himself is fervent in spirit, is diligent, but doesn't yet know the way very well. So these two followers of Paul, who were not pastors, knew enough to stabilize Apollos in the way. Amen. And Apollos was a lot of instrument later on. So, these are faculties that were developed. Which I believe God that heaven also is going to start working on in us now. Because we have it in us. Heaven will start working it in us, and giving us occasions, and also giving us grace grace to be able to respond to the occasions that demand for us to put demand on our spirit to allow the Holy Ghost to use us. Say amen. There's a classic message of Paul at Mars Hill. That's the message to all things that I want us to note. In today's world, that also becomes a major approach to preaching, that in today's world can escape the present extremism or the present reaction against the gospel. What we live in today is highly sensitive. If you preach that, mention Muhammad while that comes. Okay? You mention people's name while that comes. Some people are already drunk. Drunk with terrorist spirit. And so we don't expect you to preach and always be in trouble or always bring commotion. Amen. As long as you know, we are afraid of men. But we know that we have to preach the gospel for a long time. So you should not preach the gospel one time and everywhere is already in commotion. So the preaching in Mars Hill was a kind of a model That's Acts 17. Let me start from 15. And let's just see a little bit there. 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. His spirit was stirred. So when as we're going to be, obey the Lord in this, these are the dimension of our nature, our spirit that will be developed. How to be prompted. How to be stirred in the spirit. You will not see that. It's not going to be a Bible language. Become an experience. How to be prompted. How to be urged in the spirit. How to be stayed. The Lord is staying you from taking any step. He's staying you. You see as if the Lord is pressing you down. When he saw the city only given to idolatry, this is a very, very terrible situation. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of Stoic encountered him. Some said, what will this babbler, imagine, what will this babbler say? Other some, it's meant to be a centerfold of his strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus. What's Areopagus? Areopagus is the place where they actually meet for discourse. Saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? But that will bring us certain strange things to our ears. I think Bombi being I think boy and there. Eh? We have not just believed the gospel in your own eternal life that we did. Eternal life that we did. Eternal life that we did. I will let you be there. Amen. I see you are trying to set forth another standard, another course in the gospel. I said, that is not what all the why, reason for all our commitment and devotion on the gospel has been. You are born again for the promise of eternal life. You are filled with the Holy Ghost for the promise of eternal life. You are pastoring for the promise of anything you are doing is for the promise of eternal life. That is all that the gospel has been centered around, all the why. But now that we come and somebody is talking about the promise, what he will let himself eternal life everywhere, eternal life, eternal life. Church lengbe eko bo eko leng parasle abet ko leng parasle ma ite church lengbe se tan life man bo eh you don't think they're observing you, they're observing you and they have their issues about you. So one day 2-3 of them can just say ma bo kini bo bo tan life or aye yin. Yeah, come and talk about it. So they took Paul to Areopagus. Amen. Oh my, why shall I remember? Why shall I hear? For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. Then Paul stood in the midst of man's ear and said, ye men of all things. Now, Paul did not go to mention any of the gods. I perceive that in all things, ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown gods. So other altars have name, but only one is to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly, it is this unknown God that you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He didn't mention any of their gods or any name of their gods. So sometimes we have to trust God for skill to avoid names that are sensitive, that can bring forth arguments, give forth reactions, that can stop us from saying what we meant to say. You have not even said what you want to say. The name has caused problem. Sometimes we say, sometimes I say, all the ideologies, I mean all religions, all the ideologies. We use words that avoid us mentioning names. Even the ones in the Arabia world or the Arab world. When I hear that, they know what I'm saying, but it still doesn't hit them hard. Unlike when I mention them, of their gods or of their whatever they worship. Okay? And that's not because it's not that you are not bold, but that you are just wise in the spirit. So you can have time to say what you have to say. Amen. So he picked the one that has no name, that cannot cause problem. And I told them, that is the one I brought now. Amen. Are we together, please? God that made the heaven, the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath, and all things, and made one of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation, that as you seek him, seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, can you see it? It is in him I live, in him we live. Include them there. And move and have a being. As certain of your poet have said, for we are all his offspring. So he created a template of all inclusion. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto God, or silver or stones, driven hard by heart and man's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of the matter. So Paul departed from them. But among albeit certain men clave unto him. He got something from that place and believed. Among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Not just one, two. Others with them. But the other one he dispersed, went quietly. Amen. So, if Paul did not engage all of this, the gospel would not have spread as much as it spread in Europe before they keep on. Thank you for Stephen. Now, only one message Stephen preached. Paul couldn't have preached only one message. God needed Paul to preach so to many. So, they have to empower Paul to know how to present the message. Say amen. Oh. So. We have to avoid use of language and name. And use name that is collective. Name that are bigger in frame, okay? Huh? Say amen. So that the men can go with us on the discourse. And this is a lot of demand. So that you can play safe. You are not playing safe because you are afraid. You place it because you need to still speak to many people. Are we together, please? Say amen. So, many other things that Paul and the rest will always observe is observe culture of places. He followed them into that man's ill. Because it's their normal gathering place. Paul could not say, go and bring them here. He followed them. You are the one that need to meet people. You're not the one that will be acting like you are master. No, you follow them. That is their culture. Every evening, they come together. And don't say, don't you have work to do in this place? That's not part of your business. How can you guys be coming together every evening? That's not what you are looking for. You want souls. So whatever is wrong on that ground, leave it. You can't correct everything at once. I went to the house, please. You can't correct everything at once. You must be to overlook. Sometimes you get to the place people are not dressing well. Overlook the dressing. You can't bring Jesus to them and be correcting what they are doing wrong. Like I was saying here, you can never find a place in the scriptures where the apostles preach and ask for a change of custom and culture and lifestyle around food and dressing. I've not seen one place. Because they are relevancies. Even things wrong with them, when their heart changes, they'll change it. And if it's not wrong, they're staying in their own uniqueness. God is not asking the old world to express life uniformly. Say, hey, man. It means if you have members of 10 members in India, they won't look like you. If you go to India to preach, it won't make them look like you. Even if they want to look like us, we'll say you are good the way you are. That's the beauty of the gospel. We won't make them look like us. We won't project a manner that make us look better culturally. There's no culture we have that is better. So you don't engage people through their culture. You engage their heart through the gospel. Say amen. Hallelujah. So, you try your best. We try our best. Let me end the area of dressing, which is a major issue around us here because of the church that has been on ground. We would have had problem with the nations around us, even though the church already left a mindset. So what we see today as dressing in the western part of Nigeria is a church mindset. It's not Yoruba mindset. Church gave the West a mindset about dressing. And it has become nearly cultural. That's not the original culture of Yoruba people. Also for Igbos, church has left Igbo. For example, Yoruba culture accept women to tie wrapper and be okay. There's tie wrapper, there's Iro and Buba. They are different ways of dressing in Yoruba land. Amen. So church came and made those things. So today, if you tie wrapper now, who's that? Even the cultural people will say, what is wrong with you? Because they're no more cultural. They have adopted the church sense. So, sometimes we may not be able to go on the church sense completely, but we can also be far from it. Or else, they can't relate to what we're saying. Amen. That's the area where modesty becomes relevant. If you are too immodest in terms of what they see as modesty, it will be difficult to convince them. They can't just relate with you because they believe that you are one of them. If you are a white man now and you are wearing just a short, they feel you are a white man. But if you are a black man, they believe you are part of them. And if you are not doing what they are doing, they feel that you are wayward. I don't think you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. So the much that they know us to an extent, you know our community, what we stand for. To an extent, they know that we don't conform to their church mindset of dressing. So also, we can't go all the way. Because you dress because of people. You don't know less because of yourself alone. And you can't throw that away in the gospel. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, like Paul will say, I like Paul's language in that place. That should be 1 Corinthians 9, 22. 9:22. Oh. To the weak. Became I as weak. That I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men. That I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. That I might be partaker thereof with you. So it's not calling for an unstable life. It's not saying, okay, since you are going to share with them now and you choose to wear a long skirt, you are not going to preach them that. I want to see you next time your skirt is not as long as you came to them with. And I feel like, it's your duty at this point. Let them know that you don't dress the same way all the time. I don't know what I'm saying now. Because they will, someone can see as hypocrisy. Why did you come and pretend to us? But you know you need to do that to reach them. I don't know what I'm saying now. So if they're still in line with you, what you are, the gospel you are preaching, or with the gospel we are bringing, then we make them see later on that life is not around that uniformity of dressing. God does not expect us to dress the same way all the time. It's not buying uniform for you. New bad does not buy uniform for us. Eh? What did I say? It's not buying of uniform. There's people who get born again and they buy uniform. No, it's not buying of uniform. It's a buying of new heart. New bat is new heart. What did I say? I can't hear you say it better. It's new heart. So I give you a job today. Let me give you an assignment. Go back and read message of Paul, Peter, and Stephen. And from what we are taught now, do your analysis and say where you have understanding, where you have reasoning, where you have defense. Where you have persuasion. Do analysis. I think they do that in English. They do text analysis a bit. When you have subject, predicate, verb, adverbial clauses. A bit. I don't know, there are higher analysis there. So you take those preaching and do your own personal analysis and see. And compare with somebody else. What you do there? Don't bring it to me. Check what you do with somebody else, and see if you get the same thing. That's the discussion class. How many messages now? 3. Peter, Stephen, and Paul. Go and check where they are. You should know Peter's own. You should know Stephen's own. I'm going to check for Paul's home. Huh? Stephen. Philip's message was not recorded. Only that they preached. And the Lord of Samaria taught. They didn't tell them what they preached. But the rest three were done about. Their message was documented. You will see Peter's message from beginning to the end. You see Paul, Stephen's message from beginning to the end. You also see Paul's message from beginning to the end. Praise the Lord. Let me speak finally about the power of the Holy Ghost. I was talking about power of the Spirit before. Right? That should be last time. Amen. I think it was last Tuesday. What scriptures do we use then? 1 Thessalonians. Oh. The word came. Our gospel came not only unto you in words only, but also in power. And we have looked at the power. And in the Holy Ghost. Any other scripture we use again? Remind me. We are in school. Acts 1:8. We have 20. Okay, 1:8. Okay. You're showing 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Acts 1. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea, all Samaria, and all to the uttermost part of the earth. Okay? Any other scripture? No. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that scripture, so you can see they separate Holy Ghost and power, right? And I explained the other time about power and spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, my speech was not with enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So power is attached to the message. Okay? But the Holy Ghost is the presence of the divine person in what we do or in a man's life. You can be in the Holy Ghost. But the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. When everybody said, man of the Holy Ghost is with raw presence. Yeah? He has not preached, but he has the Holy Ghost. So when you preach, and the preaching is with power. You can have it with power and with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you're sound. Say amen. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is, how do you get the Holy Ghost? By consciously being in tune with the person of the Holy Ghost and being constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Say amen. You have to be a man of the Holy Ghost. If your preaching will be impactful. Hebrews 2:1. Wherefore we ought to give them honesty to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and also God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. So, because the way they bring them out, so we have Holy Ghost, we have gift of the Holy Ghost. So that Life of the Holy Ghost must be kept. When you are in doctrine, you don't lose the Holy Ghosted life. If you are in doctrine, you have access to Spirit. But Spirit is not exactly the Holy Ghost. But doctrine is a has its own Spirit. Amen. That's how you see those scriptures separating them. Spirit, power, Holy Ghost. So the more you cultivate the presence of the Holy Spirit and you pray in the Spirit, the more you carry the presence of the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Spirit, somebody who pray in the Spirit, you consciously create the presence of the Holy Ghost. So it allows the Holy Ghost to empower you so that you can move into other realms of supply of the Spirit, which is along the line of the message. You can't say, I want to begin a message and I have the Spirit. No, you don't. It's until you start speaking. That's why you see Spirit supply. But you can begin by the Holy Ghost. You can carry the Holy Ghost to begin. I don't know if I'm saying it's clear to you. Okay. So, it's not negotiable for you to be, I will call it to be naked, without the clothing of the Holy Ghost consistently. That's your ready battery. That's why it's your ever ready battery. That's why you pray in the Spirit. You pray constantly in the Spirit. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying the Holy Ghost. That's how to put on the Holy Ghost. Praying the Holy Ghost. So for all the level of faith, Holy Ghost, because all of them, the whole kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. It's in the Holy. The Father is in the Holy Ghost. The Son is in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is in the Holy Ghost. The whole kingdom itself is the Holy Ghost. So, I want to believe that all we have learned this time will stay more with us when we are in the Holy Ghost, okay? It will stay more with us and it will come back to us faster when we are in the Holy Ghost. I believe that this section of teaching is completed, and we'll look at another time for the next section of teachings on this matter. I want to strongly believe that you are going to go back home and take this message and go back to school on the messages and take time to pray. We're going to pray. That's why for the past 1 year plus now, we have been on the Holy Ghost. We have been on the Holy Ghost. And so, this is meeting us at a good place. Because we're going to pray more in the Spirit. When you are already shark. And you are power ready. It gets you ready for what God will have to say, what He will have to instruct, and gives you the boldness to obey God. Holy Ghost gives you boldness to obey God. Makes you obey God not rather than man. When you hear Peter said, shall we obey God rather than man? It's the Holy Ghost talking. When you have beaten them, you have embarrassed them, and you feel that you go back home with their head hanged down, the Holy Ghost will not allow you to be hanged down. If they feel any way that they are down, they will go together again. They will pray. They will report to their company and they will pray. And the whole place will be shaking again. And they'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's their house. They don't lose their house. Whatever you do to them that makes them look as if they have lost there, that is, they are down small. They go on the fire. So they wake up, they sleep, they wake up. They do all they do in the Holy Ghost. And that's our portion. I say it's our portion. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's why you can't be praying and be doing that. It's not possible. When you are drunk, words fly out of your mouth. You can't say drunken man will be saying, you want to sing? He will sing on the top of his voice. Yesu lo lagbara. You will know something's wrong with this man. You can't say drunken man, that's Yesu lo lagbara. To go with a smile that's unusual. You know what I'm saying? So an Holy Ghost man can be a usual man. Yes. You will take things, you will take posters, you will as a man who has been brought out of the realm of the flesh to a real world of liberty. I don't know, can we pray tonight? Let's pray tonight. Let's just.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.